Father, we are grateful for your word, the guidance and the clear instruction that it gives us. Please, would you, by your Holy Spirit, speak clearly to us through it tonight and to each and every heart here, that we would be encouraged in our walk with you and that we would know you to be our loving and gracious God. In Jesus' name, amen. Great. Well, please do keep your Bibles open as we'll be looking through the passage together. I hope you saw, as we read, that Peter has some wonderful encouragements for us to keep going as a Christian in this world. Not least, because being a Christian in this world is a really weird thing. I don't know if you've ever thought about it like that. In the eyes of the world, you might have some experiences that you can remember. In the eyes of the world, you're really strange. The world rejects God. And subsequently, it cannot understand who you are. And I'm sure you've had that awkward moment at some point. You know, Dad talks about it all the time. He's a minister. When he's talking to people on the street, and he tells people that he's a minister for the first time during the conversation, and it kills it. People have no box for this. They have no box for Christianity. And sticking out like that, it can cause a bit more than just awkwardness. One thing Peter, as he writes this letter to his listeners, is sure is inevitable for the Christian who's trying to live in a world that does not know God is this. I don't know if you can read some of those. Persecution. Political persecution. Being a Christian in the world can be a bit more complicated than just awkward interactions. Think of Grace Church Lambert that we were thinking about this morning. It can be a cause of suffering. It really can. Think of those headlines. These are Christians sticking out. Perhaps you know someone or you yourself are going through some of those things that are highlighted in these headlines. Perhaps you live in fear of that stuff happening to you at work, with your family, at school. Is it easy to be a Christian in Scotland today? It's to Christians in these circumstances that Peter is writing to. And that's all of us, if we stick out as Christians. And we would hope that Peter's advice, as we read this letter, is, okay, keep your head low, assimilate as best you can, and wait for it all to blow over. Right? That's what we want to hear. Unfortunately, that's not the advice that Peter gives. What he wants to do, at the beginning of the letter anyway, is encourage us with the truth amidst the suffering and the injustice from this world that does not know God. And I've picked out four things that Peter reminds us of in this section that he wants us to remember as we continue to live as kind of weirdos in this foreign land. We'll get rid of those for a second. Number one, Peter's encouragement to us. We are exiles. That's one of the first things that Peter alludes to, which he goes on to unpack in the rest of the letter, is this. All this suffering, all this anxiety, all this pain that can come as a cause of following Jesus, it's not pleasant. He's not being trite. He's not just throwing it off. It's not pleasant, but it's not a surprise. We should be expecting it. That's what he means when he calls his readers. Have a look at verse 1. Exiles. Elect exiles. What does it mean to be an exile? A quick definition. What is an exile? It's kind of a foreigner in a foreign land. It means you're not at home. It means, in fact, you're far away from home. And the customs, the people, the places of the nation in which you currently reside, they're very different to you. They're very different to what you know. And they're very different to what you belong to. And just think for a second about that. That's is how you feel sometimes, isn't it? In Scotland today. Think of those headlines again. They might make your stomach churn. They might make you scared for your future. They might make you sad because you've lost friends or you're in difficult relationships with some people because of your faith. Peter says, that's normal. You're in a land that you don't belong. You're amidst the people who are very different to you. They care about different things. they don't care about God, they don't know Jesus, it's normal to find yourself not completely in line with everything that's going on. And hopefully that's not a really depressing thought. Hopefully that's a somewhat liberating thought. Maybe you might be breathing a sigh of relief. I certainly did when I first studied 1 Peter. I said, oh, to be a Christian in this world is a strange thing to be. And God knows it. Peter, as we read on the letter, tells us about how that should shape the way that you live. But it's good for us now to remember that those headlines, they're not a surprise to God. They're not. Thinking closer to home, maybe you have colleagues at work who maybe look at you funny when you don't join in on the banter, or they ask you to be dishonest and you refuse, or they don't like your Christian values so they treat you differently than everyone else, or your neighbors when they turn their nose up at your Christmas service invitation. That's all really, really hard to deal with. But it's to be expected. Nothing strange is happening to you. Your exilic nature means the world doesn't understand you. But why are you in exile in this land? Why are you different from everyone else? Well, Peter's answer is the word before the word exile in verse 1. Elect. That's the first word that he uses to describe us. So Peter's encouragement to us, you're exiles. Don't be surprised at what's happening, but why are you exiles? It's because you are elect. And what does that mean? A quick definition, chosen by God. And that might bring all sorts of questions into your mind about predestination, etc. And if it didn't, then now it has, and I've shot myself in the foot. But here's how to think about this. Imagine you were one of those people in one of these churches, having this letter being read to them back then. And Christianity is in its infancy. The culture around you often does not know what to do with your beliefs. It might be that your masters would treat you unfairly because of this. Peter alludes to that later on in the letter. Or it might be that your friends, who were your friends, now they revile you. And they call you names because of Jesus. Again, Peter addresses that later on in this letter. Or maybe you were actually suffering physical persecution. People wanted to beat you up and kill you. Peter mentions that later on in this letter as well. And you drag yourself into your church gathering after a week of all that, thinking, my God, what is happening in my life? Things are really hard. And then imagine you walked into church that day and one of the elders stood up to read Peter's letter to us, the apostle's letter to us. And he reads it out loud and you hear those words, you are elect. How would you feel? That's the deepest source of comfort and assurance. Isn't it? Amidst all my troubles, I can rest on the fact that God has chosen me, and he has chosen me, and if he has chosen me, I am safe for eternity. And I didn't do anything to deserve it. He just chose me. And that's great. I'm not doing anything wrong that I'm suffering like this. He doesn't love me less. He has chosen me. He will not let me go. Now imagine Peter's letter is being read at Broughty Ferry Presbyterian Church on the whatever of July 2019 in the evening service by a guy that looks like Alberto, but it's not Alberto. After 7 months this year of work that perhaps wasn't the greatest, a year with difficult friends, difficult relationships because maybe of your faith. And God reminds that believer sitting in this room today, you're elect. God has chosen you. In fact, imagine he reminded you. Look at what Peter says in verse 3 that is true about you, the Christian that God has chosen. That you have been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, an inheritance, undefiled, unfading, imperishable, kept in heaven for you. You who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed. How would you feel if God reminded you of that today? How do you feel?
Encouraged.
Encouraged. What a privilege. What a privilege. Another sigh of relief, hopefully. How loved I am. How safe I am. And that's what that word means. I don't think the Bible has a problem with predestination. It's a source of security, assurance. Otherwise, we'd be fumbling around trying to save ourselves. We'd be thinking God doesn't like us anymore because things are hard. No, he has chosen us. And even though we haven't seen him, we love him and we rejoice. Third thing Peter encourages us with, and we've been talking about it just now, but he gives it a little twist. We are recipients of grace. Peter has already shown us some aspects of this grace. We're elect. We're born again. We have an inheritance to come. And on top of all that, if that's not encouraging enough for you, if we are exiles who are suffering, Peter teaches us another really amazing truth. In fact, all this suffering, all this discomfort, it actually can be a part of God's grace to us. That sounds weird, doesn't it? Just so we're clear when we're talking about grace, that's kind of God's undeserved kindness towards us. He's kind to us completely freely. But think about this. It's amazing that Peter actually has the guts to say this to people who are really, really suffering. He says, even the things that you're going through, the things that we go through for sticking out in the world for being Christians, that is not outwith the means by which God can be gracious to you. And how can that be? How can that be? That makes no sense. How in the world would God allow suffering to fall on his people for following him? How can that be a good thing? Well, the answer that Peter gives is that it strengthens our faith. Have a look at verses 4 and 5, just after verse 3. Peter reminds us of the inheritance in heaven we have to look forward to. It's imperishable, unlike the riches of this world. It's undefiled, unlike every aspect of the sin-covered world. It's unfading, like unlike this world, that will pass away, kept in heaven, and you are guarded by this inheritance, verse 5, the salvation to come, by God's very own power. And how does God's very own power keep you for that inheritance? Through faith. In other words, what is absolutely crucial is your faith. And God is absolutely committed to keeping it strong and vibrant and healthy. So for a little while in this life, if necessary, you'll be grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus. In other words, trials bring about the genuineness of your faith and confirm what will be yours when Jesus comes back. Is that not incredible? Even suffering, because of being a Christian, is not outwith the control of God. He can use it for our good. And that's not a trite thing to say. Oh, God can use suffering for good. Everyone knows that. But it's profound. It's deeply profound. It should be a source of deep encouragement for us. God is absolutely committed to you. He will keep your faith secure when he returns. He will. And so we're clear about what Peter's not saying. He's not saying that, you know, you have to go through trials, and if you don't go through the trials well enough, you're going to lose your faith, so you need to keep your faith strong. It's not that. God's power is the one that keeps your faith. That's what keeps your faith. And God's power is evident amid suffering, because faith is preserved and strengthened, where otherwise, humanly speaking, we think it should falter and it should fail. Think about it like this. Here's an excerpt from the Open Doors website on persecuted Christians. It's great to hear from Michael this morning as well about Sudan and the things that are happening in Khartoum and elsewhere. I got this little tidbit from Christians in North Korea. If a Christian is discovered in North Korea, they'll be arrested and imprisoned, and in one of North Korea's terrible labor camps, and put in one of North Korea's terrible labor camps. In the camps, Christians are worked like slaves and often tortured. Most are never able to escape, and yet our brothers and sisters in North Korea have decided that knowing Jesus is worth the risk they face. The church in North Korea is not only surviving, but growing, and they have great hope for the future. Where does that come from? God's power, strengthening faith through trials. That's the only thing it could be. Supernatural, surely. As they cling on to him through difficult circumstances, faith grows, and the inheritance is secure. And that's amazing. It's a great thing to hear if you were back then, in the early days of Christianity. It's a great thing to hear today. He uses the good times and the bad times to make sure the outcome is secure. The salvation of your soul. God is always gracious to us. Always. Even in the bad times. And lastly, fourth point, Peter's encouragement to us. Now that he's given us all this information, what does he want us to do with it? Fill your minds with it. Always think about it. How privileged you are as an elect exile. You see what we're arriving here. What does it look like to be a Christian? It's really hard. It's really hard sometimes in this world that doesn't know him. But it's an incredible privilege. We are elect exiles because we are recipients of grace. We are born again to an inheritance kept for us. And do you know who wishes they knew what we know? Do you know who wishes they could contemplate what we're thinking about right now? Verses 10 and 11. Have a look at that. Concerning the salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours, they searched and they inquired carefully, inquiring what time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. The prophets, they wish they knew what we knew. They searched and inquired about the things that have been preached to us through apostles like Peter. The good news. If you break those verses down, here's what I mean. Have a look at that slide. All that these old prophets knew was that at some point, some guy was going to suffer to bring about subsequent glory. They didn't know who, when, what, how. But we know that that was Jesus. That it happened 2,000 years ago on the cross for the glory that is the inheritance that we have in heaven. How do you think, if Ezekiel was transported into this sermon from 1 Peter from back then, how do you think he would feel? That was mind blown. You're like, yes, that makes sense. This is amazing. We hear about the gospel all the time, etc. You've heard it so many times before. It's a revolutionarily incredible truth, and we are so privileged to be able to know it in full. So privileged. And we are the recipients of that message as well. As in, it's true of us. So, you exiles in Scotland in the 21st century, don't think you've been shortchanged. God chooses you. He gives you a new heart. He gives you faith. He secures your inheritance with him for eternity. He secures your faith, even through suffering. He lets you know way more than the prophets ever knew. To be a Christian is an amazing privilege. And so how often do we think about these things? That's what Peter wants us to do, verse 13. mentioned it before, preparing your minds, be sober-minded. How often do you consider this grace that you've been shown? How often do you consider your exilic nature? How often do you consider the fact that you are elect? That's how we make sure we're prepared and we're sober. We contemplate these things always, all the time. Maybe this next week, here's a challenge. Maybe this next week you could spend every morning reading 1 Peter chapter 1 and contemplate these wonderful truths. Especially given what it can be like as a Christian in a foreign land, as an exile in a foreign land, it can be really, really hard. And Peter wants to encourage us with the truth. What is true of the believer? It's a wonderful privilege. And so we keep on living like strangers in Broughty Ferry, at work, in school, in Scotland. In light of this gospel and this gracious God that has saved us. Amen. Let me pray for us.